Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. 800 acres of the Clarksburg State Forest is gone. It's a wildfire, and it's the largest in Massachusetts in over two decades, since the Toccoa Mountain Fire in 1999. More than 100 firefighters across Massachusetts and Vermont continue to battle the fire, which has burned its way through Williamstown, Clarksburg, and North Adams since last Friday, when it started in a remote, wooded area of Williamstown. We wanted to find out how unusual this fire is, how much it has to do with climate change, what it means for the health and safety of the communities in its wake. So joining us to give us an update is Dave Salino, Chief Fire Warden for the Department of Conservation and Recreation. Dave, thank you for joining us. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So Dave, when I close my eyes, I don't even know what to imagine. I understand you've been to the site of the fire. Can you describe what a fire of this proportion is like?
Well, it's actually, it grew a little bit more. The acreage currently is 947 acres up there. And we'll tell you a little bit about where it is. It's located about 2 miles northeast of the center of Williamstown off of Route 2, the Route 2 corridor. And it actually sits right up on the ridge top where the Appalachian Trail leaves Route 2 and travels up across that hill country and links up with the Long Trail in southern Vermont. And it started Friday night, early evening, off of a road to the west of the ridge top, and actually burned up slope into the Clarksburg State Forest area. The extent of it actually has burned about 85% of the footprint is in the Clarksburg State Forest. And it burned along the leaf litter. It's not a huge amount of damage, actually. The state forest is actually still there. And in the fire behavior, what we call the fire behavior is actually pretty typical of what we see in springtime wildland fire behavior, even here in New England.
So I want to unpack that a little bit, because my understanding is also that it's the biggest fire of this kind in over 20 years. You sound pretty calm about it, you know, pretty sanguine about it. So how do we square that circle?
Sure. It really, so you're correct. It's the largest fire that we've had since 1999. In 1999, we had an 1,100 acre fire over in Toccoa Mountain, just north of Westfield. It was actually in the town of Russell, on that big chunk of mountain that sits right next to the Massachusetts Turnpike. And, historically, it seems significant that we would have another fire that was close to 1,000 acres. But when we look at history in Massachusetts and across the northeastern United States, it's actually not that uncommon. If we take a big snapshot in time going back even just 100 years, Massachusetts actually has a rich history in wildland fire. And it wasn't that long ago, up through even the 40s and 50s, 60s, and even the early 70s, it was not uncommon for us to have wildland fires that were in excess of a couple of hundred acres or even a couple of thousand acres. 1957 was a very famous fire in the town of Plymouth that burned 15,000 acres in just 12 hours. And the only thing that stopped it was that it burned to the shores of Cape Cod Bay, just south of the village of Plymouth.
What's different now? So what's different now?
Well, so there's a lot of things that have changed. For one thing, our culture and how we fight fire. We actually, to date this year in 2021, we've already accounted for 589 wildland fires, although a lot of them have been small. And there's a couple of things that lead to that is changing weather patterns. We just haven't had those long duration droughts that maybe they had back then. And also technology, you know, cell phones play a huge role in getting early detection, and our fire towers also play a huge role as well. We still run a fire tower network that helps us get early detection. And then equipment, you know, the equipment has really progressed over the years. It allows firefighters to make access to these remote fires a lot easier than it was, say, two generations ago.
So is everyone safe, Dave? The people who are fighting the fire, people in the communities, is there something that we should be watching or worried about? Or are we looking at the natural order of things? Do you understand my question?
I do, and that's a great question. I'm always pleased to hear that question asked, because what that means is we're focused on, first of all, the safety of our first responders. That's regardless of what the incident was, whether it's a house fire or you know, a wildland fire or a hurricane, whatever the response is, we're always first concerned about the safety and the risk to those first responders. They're the valuable commodity that we have in our communities, in our country, in our states. And so we look at that first and foremost, and then absolutely the what's the risk to the public. And so in a fire like this, although it was large in size, we were lucky that it actually burned into an area that is very remote. And there were what we call values at risk. There were no values at risk in terms of the downwind direction of how the fire was spreading. So as opposed to many other fires that we've had already this year in 2021, we can actually account for about 250 or 60 residential homes that we know were threatened. A number of them were damaged, and we've actually had over 90 outbuildings, other structures that were either damaged or destroyed by even some of those smaller wildland fires, because they happened in places we call the urban interface, where development comes into contact with those wildlands out there, whether it's forest or grasslands or shrubland.
So Dave, in this case, is there something ecologically beneficial to a fire like this, especially given that we know it is not posing as much of a threat, perhaps, as some in the past?
Yeah, you know, I love the connection to it. Is it a natural act? And it sure is. We know that fire has played a huge role in the makeup of our landscape and our ecosystems over millions of years. And so fire has a way of reintroducing itself, whether we like it or not, in certain circumstances. And there are a lot of ecosystems that actually are what we call fire dependent ecosystems. So a great example that sticks right out is the Pine Barrens down there in southeastern Massachusetts or New Jersey. The scrub oak Pine Barrens are a fire dependent ecosystem. Pitch pine actually is designed naturally over those thousands and thousands of years to become fire resistant. And there are just hundreds of plants and wildlife that depend on fire being part of that ecosystem at some point during its life cycle.
So is there a climate change dimension to this particular fire?
Yeah, you know, I would say that there is. We always, as fire managers, so one of those technology improvements we talked about was also recognizing and using new tools to our advantage to predict fire behavior and recognize when we're going to have these upticks in fire danger periods. And certainly we're looking at weather. Fire managers are now sort of hobbyist weather experts, and we're looking at weather all the time. There's three natural influences of wildland fire. It's first of all the weather, and then the fuel conditions, and then topography. And in the East Mountain fire, all three of those natural influences came together to line up and actually help the spread of this fire into the size that it was. So part of that is an influence from last year's drought. And this is the best analogy that I can make, and the connection I can make for your question, is that the 2020 drought, we're still seeing effects in the fuels in the forest on fire behavior and fire conditions. And we're seeing those larger dead fuels that would have normally absorbed a lot of moisture over the winter. They never really recovered from the drought that lasted all the way through to November of last year.
Well, Dave Cellino, Chief Fire Warden for the Department of Conservation and Recreation, will be thinking of you and the other firefighters still battling this fire. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.